PPI.org. This is Disability and Progress. We bring you insights into, ideas about, and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. It's also KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. I want to remind everyone before we get started, if you'd like to be on the email list for my up-and-coming shows, you can do that by emailing me at disabilityandprogress. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
Hello.
Mason Butler engineers this particular episode. Thank you, Mason. And we are speaking with Mary Lee Turner. Hi, Mary Lee.
Good morning or evening, wherever you are in the world.
Wherever it is. And we also podcast. So actually, people could be listening at any time. Mary Lee is with us, and she's going to talk about the seminar she's going to be doing at Oral Hall Foundation Learning Center on, it's called Sight Loss. I'm sorry, living with sight loss. And so can we start out, Mary Lee, a little bit by what is Oral Hall?
Oral Hall Foundation is a 22-acre parcel of, well, is located on 22 acres of land in Sandy, Oregon, which sits at the base of Mount Hood, just east of Portland, Oregon. The Oral Hall Foundation, which is what it started out being known as, was begun 60 years ago. So we are celebrating our 60th anniversary this year by a woman named Oral Hall. At a ripe old age, she discovered that she had cancer, and she had no family to donate her beautiful land to. So she went to a lawyer in the town of Sandy and said, "Could you help me come up with an idea of what I could do with my land?" And he said, "Well, I don't know if you noticed, but when you came in here today, I am blind. Here's my guide dog." And she said, "Oh, no, I didn't even notice." And he said, "When I was a young lad, I participated at a summer camp in Spokane, Washington for blind children. And it was the doorway to my independence. That was the first time that I had the opportunity to be away from my family and try new things and begin to sprout my wings." So this lawyer told her about other places she could possibly donate her land, but she decided to donate it to be used as a retreat center for blind adults. So that's when the fun began. And a group of folks got together to raise some money from Lions Clubs and Kiwanis and various churches in the area. And I think we bought the land for $1, I do believe was the price.
Wow.
And so isn't that great? And so she did survive her cancer. She lived a number of years after that. And we agreed that she could live in her home until she passed, which she did. And so buildings began being designed and built in the 70s. And so we now have a beautiful lodge where, by the way, Sam has been.
Mm.
And which has a dining room and a commercial kitchen. We also have a dormitory that has 24 bedrooms. That have two-person occupancy if desired. We have the dorm has, at the end of one of the halls, is a deluxe 12-person hot tub. which I spend a lot of time in when I'm out there, I can guarantee you. We also, thanks to a grant written and partially funded by the Lions Club International, we have an additional wing that gives us a single toilet room and two individual showers, plus a roll-in shower. That is one of my favorite places to go. It's nice and big. And we also have a heated swimming pool. We have a recreation building. We have, let's see.
The gardens.
Am I answering more than your one question? Oh, yeah, well, the gardens.
The gardens.
Thanks, Sam. One of our premier items at the park is what we call our Gardens of Enchantment. This is a half-acre garden that is designed, created, and maintained by garden clubs in the area. And we also call it our Five Senses Garden. It's a half acre filled with plants that have unique and wonderful smells and tastes and sounds as the wind blows through them, beautiful colors. And all of the paths are paved, and most of the plants are labeled in large print and braille. At the end of the garden, we have a beautiful gazebo, which is a favorite place for us to host weddings and family gatherings. We have a big place for picnics and lots of grassy areas where we can play games, beach ball, and what do you call that? Where you throw the discus thing.
Like javelin or something?
Dude, that's scary. No, I'll think of it. We also, we have a built-in fire pit that we can hold all kinds of fun things around. We have seating, and we often have our final gathering the night before we conclude any camp session. If it's good weather, we do it down there with a big fire, and there's always lots of singing going on, and people are playing games and talking and laughing and walking. We have paved paths for walking. We have a horseshoe pit. So there's always so many things going on.
Well, I have been
probably more than you wanted to know.
That's
in my
okay.
First question.
I have been to that. You're right, and I spend a lot of time in the gazebo because I love that kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun. And actually, I had never heard that story before that you just told. So I think I heard a version of it, but never in that detail. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I have a question, though. Where was her house located on that land?
It is, it's the house. It's as you first, well, you know, I'm not sure, Sam. It's either what is now the caretaker's house, which is close to the entrance, or it's where we have the office. So it's on the, what would that be? Like the north side of the campus.
It truly is a beautiful place. And if anybody's thinking of going after they hear this show, I agree with the guy that it's just a door to your independence. You do what you want to do. You don't have to participate in what you don't want to do. And it just is, you're truly, I felt free there. I want to talk a little bit about the Learning Center, though.
You bet. When the retreat center first started, it was known as a camp. Now, when you think of camp, what comes to mind? Hot dogs and sleeping on the ground. Well, you don't get to sleep on the ground unless you so choose, and the hot dogs are usually gourmet. So we have transformed from a camp setting to a retreat center. We have changed our name from the Oral Hull Foundation for the Blind to the Hull Foundation and Learning Center and for the blind. And that came about mainly because when I joined the board as a retired orientation and mobility and rehab teacher, I am legally blind, and I've worked in for the Commission for the Blind in Florida, New Jersey, and Oregon off and on for 30 years. And so I'm very, very aware of the increasing number of folks who are new to sight loss. They've lived mm-hmm. their lives to the fullest, doing whatever they wanted to do, and now they are posed with the challenge of sight loss. And so I said, when I came on the board in, I think it was like 2009, I said, you know, recreation is fun. In fact, that's my master's degree is in therapeutic recreation.
But excellent.
I'm really concerned about the folks who are, you know, now faced with the challenge and the nightmare of all their fantasies and fears about what blindness is. And so we created programs that we call Introduction to Living with Sight Loss Seminars. And those were three-day seminars that so folks would come out, they'd show up, you know, on the first day, and they would typically be anxious, fearful, upset, worried, afraid, embarrassed, ashamed, and pretty well upset. And because they didn't want to be there, they didn't want to face the reality of their sight loss. But once we got started and we dealt with the what is blindness and what isn't it? You know, it mm-hmm. isn't all the horrible pictures that people get, you know, lights over, all that horrible stuff. And so by the time the end of the seminars, they were crying because they didn't want to leave. And so then we branched out into doing one or two-hour sessions at retirement communities and recreation senior centers in the Portland metropolitan area. Also working with staff to educate them about, you know, what blindness is and what it isn't, and, you know, how they can let go of their assumption of incompetence and all that dreadful stuff. So when the pandemic came, it's like, well, people aren't going to come out to the park. So we moved to offering seminars, hour-long seminars or workshops on Zoom. And of course, with Zoom, you can join with your, you know, with your devices, so that if you choose to, you can see the screen and or be seen, or you can enter with a dial-up telephone if you choose. Mm-hmm. And we offer those. We have 4 to 6 a week that are all available at no charge, offered by the learning instructors through the Hull Foundation. And last year we had our first 3-day seminar, Living with Blindness, and 15 people registered. But only 8 people showed up because of their fear, anxiety, the pandemic, and all that stuff.
Right.
So we're trying something new that we're calling Living with Sight Loss. What's our you know, sneak preview seminar. And this is going to be 2 1-hour sessions that are held on Wednesday, April 21st and Thursday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to noon Pacific Daylight Time. So it's basically a 4-hour course.
Thursday, yes. April 21st, Friday, April 22nd. Yes. Okay.
Correct. I should have said that. Thanks, Sam.
And, no problem.
So in these, what you're going to get is a taste of what happens at those 3-day seminars. So we are going to be, first of all, we always address, and I'm the one that's facilitating, so you could get 4 hours of me plus you who are there. because it's always very interactive. I start off by acknowledging the people that came. What did it take for you to get here? And acknowledging them for having the courage and the, you know, to do what it took to register and to be ready to go. And then we take on what is blindness and what isn't it? Simply, blindness is the loss of the of sight to varying degrees. But what it isn't is that you have that you're lost in a field of darkness or partial darkness, and that you are going to die alone.
And we're talking about how you introduced that, Mary Lee, and what sight is and isn't. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. what's the general age of people you tend to get? Are they all seniors, or do you get any younger ones as well?
I would say that they are mostly, I would say, we've had some young ones, 30, 40. Mm-hmm. Can't remember if we've had 20-year-olds, but we're certainly welcome to them. But most of our participants for these seminars are, I'd say, 70 through 90.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're kind of late bloomers. They're late people who've lost their vision late in life.
And so many of them have horrible perspectives about what blindness is. You know, mm-hmm. they see somebody tapping around, lost, crying, begging, whatever. We address that head on. And then we get into, okay, here, the rest of the time is spent introducing tips that will help, that may help people be able to efficiently and effectively describe their level of sight to people so that they don't, you know, sometimes I'll ask people, well, tell me about your sight loss, and they want to start at age 2 and tell me every doctor that screwed them over. And, you know, and, no, I don't care. You know, so I mean, I'll listen to anything, but you know, the general public doesn't want to hear it. So I get them past. You know, how do you? We talk through how to figure out where you are in your home, and how to get from there to the bathroom, because isn't that one place that everybody needs to get to?
Yes.
And then we take it on from there about how to basically live your life with safety, efficiency, dignity, and fun. All of what I'm introducing is based on those challenges. And we go through, and I give people homework by the end of the first session. So they practice doing things like writing their name, signing their name. Because think about it. How many times have all of you signed your name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times. It is purely a mechanical action. And it can be learned unless you have a condition that has your hands very, you know, even if you're shaky, you know, or not very strong, most people can hold a pen and do something that can become their signature. Don't give your signature away. People say, well, why don't you just get a signature stamp? Well, because anybody that gets that stamp can be you. So we deal with, you know, signing your name, ways to be able to keep track of information. If you have some sight, I'm going to back off and say that everybody who has registered by this date, by the 14th of the month of April, will be sent a packet that has a couple of signature guides, a check writing guide, a notepad. I really am a promoter of steno pads because your hand doesn't get caught in the wire at the top of the page. And so I demonstrate ways for using limited vision most efficiently. Talk about if you don't have enough sight, to be able to have that be of use to you when you need to keep records. What are other ways you can keep records? So we talk about using tape recorders and various equipment. Phone messages, Anyway, I'm not going to go into all of it now because probably all of you guys know it. But anyway,
I have a question though. Okay. So are the people, can people take part in this seminar if they don't live in Oregon?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, excellent. So it's,
you know, sight loss is sight loss. I don't care where you live.
Right.
You know? And you may hear me use the word sight loss more than vision. And that's because I think of vision, and so do, you know, quite a few people. Vision is what you carry in your heart and your mind about what, you know, what's your vision for your life? What's your vision for your relationship with other people? Sight is simply, what's a good way to put it? The use of your eyes. If I based my life on how much sight I have, it'd be a pretty boring life because I have just a tiny bit of sight in one eye, and my twin sister has no sight. Well,
right.
Believe me, that doesn't stop us. Did I answer your question? I'm
yes.
ready for more.
All right. So one of the things that I know that you're thinking of talking about and addressing is being in the kitchen, which is a huge matter. It really is
it
an
is.
Important thing. And there are so many differences with people's kitchen and what they used to cook on and maybe what they feel comfortable now cooking on. A lot of people I know fall to the microwave and they don't stray from it. But so what, tell me a little bit about how you deal with stuff in the kitchen with people.
Okay. And again, we can't get into a lot of this in this 4-hour session because there's so many things to cover. But kitchen is where I use, you know, the focus there is safety. So, you know, I first of all talk about how, and I do this throughout the seminar, that if you have had sight for most of your life, you know more things visually than I'll ever know. And so you can call on that. And I use the example of when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, do you turn the light on and turn around before you flush?
Right.
Okay. Most people don't, because how many times have you done it? Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Your body knows where that handle is. Okay. Whether the light's on or off. And the dials on your stove have not changed just because you can't see them as well as you used to. One of the things that gets set out, that is sent out in these packets, are a small sample or a small selection of raised dots. And these are dots, you know, you can make them out of all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
What's the most important position on any dial? This is a test, Sam.
Uh-oh.
What would you say is, what's the most important position?
I would say off.
Well, you would be right. If you don't know how to identify off, you need to address that first. So if you and I, you know, make suggestions like you want life to be easy. It shouldn't be so hard. So if there is a burner on your stove that you and the folks you may share your home with live with that you never use, take that dial off. Just pull it off the stove if it's a dial you can pull off. Now, don't throw it away. Don't hide it. Put it in, you know, in a drawer, maybe in your silverware drawer so that, you know, it's easy for you to get back out and put on, you know, when the rest of the family shows up to cook the turkey.
Yes.
Okay? And so start simply and acknowledge that it typically may take more time for you to do what you used to do with literally without thinking about it. You thought about it, but it was so quick that you know, it seems like it's it just comes to you naturally. It doesn't. It takes work, takes effort, takes time, and it takes being present.
Yes.
So I talk a lot about being present. So if you are cold, tired, lonely, hungry, low or high blood sugar, or have to pee, you are not present to what you're working on. And trust me, nature always wins. So take care of those things first.
All right. Well, I have another thing for you. This one is, well, it's a sensitive topic. And I remember growing up, and I went to a school for the blind for some of my junior high and my elementary school. And this was a huge topic there. And I remember meeting people later in life that had vision issues. Oh, and trust me, this is not just for vision issues. I know plenty of sighted people that need assistance with this too. But I want to address the topic of hygiene, because I think it's such a personal, sensitive topic, and not enough people. I was a tech trainer too, and used to work in a rehabilitation center. And I remember even the people who taught, you know, kind of that daily living, did not address it as much. They felt uncomfortable addressing as much as they should have. And so talk to me about how you address that, and how you have, you know, if you've worked in that area, addressed that with your clients.
Okay. Yes, I have worked in that area. And it's really different when you're dealing with folks that have lived long, seemingly successful, full lives. And they are now, you know, have the added challenge of sight loss.
Right.
So for them, it is calling them to think about, okay, what's important to you? And for some people that, you know, have never ever flossed their teeth without looking in the mirror, and now looking in the mirror doesn't work. Don't quit flossing your teeth just because you can't.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, seriously. So again, you want to sit down. You want to practice doing that, flossing your, whether it's plugging a plug into the wall, or which is a big challenge for folks. And so I'll use that as an example, but it really does tie into hygiene. That, you know, you want to practice it, and don't practice using what do you call those things in the wall that you plug into?
Outlet.
Anyway, outlet. You don't want to practice plugging something into an outlet that you have to lean over the couch in the living room to get to. Get, you know, find an outlet that is easy for you to reach, either in the kitchen or the bathroom, preferably not next to the sink where the water is, because electricity doesn't care if you're blind or sighted. You know, it'll get you if you put yourself in the, you know, set yourself up to get shocked. But you want to practice, again, when you are not cold, tired, lonely, hungry, low or high blood sugar, thirsty, or have to pee. And so that goes, like, with your hair. You know, people that have worn, had gone to the beauty parlor once a week for 60 years, and now they don't trust their beautician because, A, the person died or moved away, and now they can't see the back of their head. So, you know, go to your beautician and say, what would be a haircut that would be most, hairstyle and haircut that would be most complementary to the shape of my face, my body, and my age? So, you know, work with people that are skilled in that area, so that you have, so that when you, like, if you have, it's a good idea to have somebody who you trust, who is, you know, who respects you, check your clothes every once in a while for spots, because food is not a, drips are not a respecter of intention. You know, and particularly when you're new to sight loss, you may spill more food off your fork or off the plate than you used to, until you learn how to do it with safety, efficiency, dignity, and fun. And, you know, in regard to shampooing your hair, I've worked with folks that I guess they just decided not to bother washing their hair since they couldn't see it.
Oh, my.
And believe me, it was a hygiene issue. And so you just, you know, you have to talk it through with people. Do you want to spend your time, you know, alone? because nobody wants to be around you because your body odor is overwhelming the neighborhood. So, you know, love yourself enough to shower, because I've also learned that if you have a medical issue that may create an odor, mm-hmm. that you get used to it. And so yes. you really don't even know it's there. So sometimes, you know, if you're in a position to, with dignity, respect, and of the person, talk with them and say, you know, I noticed that there is an odor when I get close to you. And I don't know if anyone's ever had the courage to tell you that or not, but I've got a good nose, and it is alerting me to the fact that maybe you need, you know, are you using soap? Are you washing under your arms and between your legs and your backside? Because, you know, that's those are areas that need to be cleaned in our society.
Yes, that's right. Why don't you give me again the dates of this seminar and how it gets, you know, how you get to be signed up. Is there still room?
How you register? Okay. Yes, there is. Okay. The seminar that we've been talking about this last segment of time is at the Hull Foundation and Learning Center. And it is a 4-hour seminar that takes place over 2 days, Thursday, April 21st, and Friday, April 22nd, from 10 a.m. to noon on Pacific Daylight Time. The course will be offered via Zoom, so you can either enter on your tablet, your phone, or you can call in. But you do need to register, and you do that by calling the Hull Foundation and Learning Center office. Our phone number is 503-668-6195.
Can you give that
I'll
one
repeat
more,
that
please?
Number.
Yes.
You bet. 503-668-6195. You can also email us and request information and registration, not only about this seminar, but future seminars and retreats. And I'll tell you about them in a minute. We have several emails, but the one I've written down here is the HULL, Hull Park for the Blind, everything spelled out, .org.
All right.
That's HULL Park, PARK, FORTHEBLIND.org. And we do have other emails. So if you're, you know, if you're adventuresome, you can go on the web and look around and see what you come up with. If you would like to read anything about me, I have a very underutilized website that is livingwithsightloss.com.
All right.
livingwithsightloss.com. And so I'd like to tell you a little bit about other things that are coming up. Is that okay?
Can we talk about one last thing before you do that?
Absolutely.
There's one thing also that you're going to be covering, and I'm sure you'll go into more detail, but it really is very important, and I think that gets missed a lot, is feeling comfortable talking with friends and family about, you know, your vision loss. And one mm-hmm. of the biggest things that for me as a teacher that I hear students come and say is, I've lost all my friends. I've lost my vision, and my friends, like, I thought they were friends. I don't know where they went. But, right. you know, it's mm-hmm. a very sad and uncomfortable situation. And so talk a little bit about how you kind of coach people to deal with that, because it is a big thing.
Absolutely. Yes, it is a very big thing. So this is your challenge to to become it, to not to to relinquish being a shrinking violet. Okay, shrinking violet, not because people who, even if you have known them all your lives, they don't understand, and they never will really understand your sight loss until they experience it. And so whether you like it or not, you will always be in their focus as somebody experiencing sight loss. Until both of you get past that, because the more comfortable you are in your skin with sight loss, that's the one of the main keys that facilitates that your friends and family, acquaintances and strangers, to get over their anxiety about and discomfort about now being around you. So yes, we absolutely talk about how to address that with friends and family, and it's different if it's family or if it's somebody in the grocery store. So right. We deal with all of that. And in this 4-hour seminar, we can't possibly deal with all of this. Our goal of these seminars is to give you a basis so that you can then step out and get connected with positive support groups in your community, because having access to other friends, other people who are experiencing sight loss, not just those that want to bitch and moan about it because they're there too, but people that are exploring, okay, what's next? How do I get to do what I want to do? Why am I not doing it? Is it really because of my sight loss, or is it because I have arthritis or I have other disabilities? So we talk about that too. I am a person with hearing loss. I wear hearing aids, and I would miss out on so much if I didn't really pay attention to what it is I need. And as I and everybody else ages, things change. You know, okay, we don't need to deal with our periods anymore necessarily, but now we get to deal with arthritis. You know,
right.
So figuring out positive ways. So we practice, figuring out who people are and where they are. And believe me, if you have a white cane in your hand and you see it as a tool, an implement for you living your life fully, then not as something that is you're ashamed or embarrassed of. Everybody's uncomfortable, almost everybody, when they first get a white cane because they don't know what to do with it. But we deal with that. And or if you choose to get a guide dog, or how to use and how to travel efficiently using a human guide at some times, how to travel in your own neighborhood and in the country and around the world. So all these things get touched on. And hopefully that if folks who attend may decide that they want to be a part of a longer period of this kind of interaction. And so we have just created our schedule so that we have the whole Foundation and Learning Center we are hosting 3-day Living with Sight Loss seminars that will focus on different topics every other month. And then the every other month, when we don't have those, we will be doing these seminars via Zoom or phone, these shorter ones, to give people a taste of what's out there and, you know, introducing you to support groups in the area, how to use some resources, how to find resources. The Hadley School, I always call it the Hadley School for the Blind, but that's not what it is anymore. Hadley Institute, which is a free distance learning program that offers all kinds of seminars. The American Council of the Blind and National Federation of the Blind are two consumer groups that have a myriad of resources. So, you know, how to connect with a positive support group in your community or via this radio station. And thank you, Sam, for all the time and effort and energy you've put into hosting these and other programs, because you don't have to be in your blindness situation alone. You can, you know, people do it all the time, but you know, that's why Sam does what she does, because she's also committed to people, you know, living their lives to the fullest. Again,
that's right.
Safety, efficiency, dignity, and fun. So there. So can I tell you a little bit about
yes.
some fun things that we're doing?
Yes, you may.
Not that these aren't fun. You know, I told you earlier that people, when they come out to the park, they're off for the first time. They're often a little anxious and fearful. And then it's like, you know, once people feel safe and respected and honored on the property at the Hull Foundation, then they start playing and laughing and singing and dancing and having a lot of fun in our hot tub, in the swimming pool, playing, you know, whatever games are going on or creating their own, we always are making music, and the place is filled with laughter. Every time I go out there, we have another garden space that we call the O'Keefe Garden, and it's mm-hmm. right outside the lodge. And whenever we have a session going on, we have the fountain playing, so you can always hear the fountain. And I love to sit out there because I hear the echoes of people laughing and crying and questioning and exploring and taking on their lives. So we have three different retreats scheduled this summer that we've had for years. The first one is for, we call it Friends and Alumni. And this is in, June 5 through 9 of 2022. It's at the park. And this is for folks who, you know, really are eager to connect with old friends. Some of the folks that come have been coming for 20 years. And you need to apply, and we request donation, but that's not the right word, to hold your space. And then you pay before you come. And we, to the best of our ability, have some scholarship money that we can make available to people that apply. And so that's the first one. The second one is our Moderate Adventure Camp. And I think this is where we met, Sam. I don't remember.
Nope, High Adventure.
High Adventure, okay. So Moderate Adventure is August 10 through 16. And that's at the park. And believe me, I recommend elastic waistbands because the food is abundant delicious. So, yum!
The cooks are always amazing.
Yep, that's a high priority for us. So we'll be doing at the Moderate Adventure Camp. First of all, what Sam said, you don't have to do anything. You can just lay around if you want to. And we have a dog relieving, like a dog park.
So that dog area
can be, so it's a enclosed area so the dogs can just, you know, get off leash and play and not have to be a guide dog, but just get to be a dog. If there are activities that you choose to go to that wouldn't be appropriate for your dog, like whitewater rafting, then a staff person is at the camp and stays with your dog. So, and no other dogs are allowed on the property. It's just working dogs. And so again, the Moderate Adventure is August 10th through the 16th of 2022. And then the High Adventure is August 24 through 30. And they will, you know, they just, I know that they're doing rock climbing this year, and there's whitewater rafting and kayaking, and I don't know all the things that are planned, but if you have questions or concerns, you can call the park. I'll say the phone number again. It's 503, and I'll say the number twice. 668-6195. That's 503-668-6195. And so I've given you the dates of both. And we also have the seminars going on, the three-day seminars. You may wonder, how do we survive? Well, before the pandemic, our administrative director really worked hard at renting out our facility to be used during the times that we didn't have retreats and going on for the blindness community. But most of those, well, actually all of those were canceled because of COVID.
Right.
So we lost a lot of our funding. Our funding typically in the past has come from donations and from bequeathments when people have passed on. Many people have been so pleased to participate that they and their families donate funds. Well, we never say no to those, but we need a whole lot more money than that. So we always have some kind of fundraiser going on, one or two. And we encourage people to become members. And there's different rates for family and nonprofits and that kind of stuff. And you can get that through the park by calling us or emailing us. We also do rent out our facility for, we have all kinds of musical groups that come out and practice, and we have weddings and memorial services. We have retreats for other organizations that come out. So we are eager to, we also hold weddings. And Sam, you said that you enjoy going to the gazebo.
Yes.
The gazebo, and I love it there because you can hear the Sandy River down below.
Yeah,
it's way down the cliff. Yep, and I actually hosted a birthday party there for myself.
Aww,
a couple
cool.
years ago, and it was just great. The gardens are beautiful. The staff, we really work hard, so when our guests come, they feel safe, they feel respected, they feel honored, and acknowledged when they're here. So we would love to have people come and join us either for this course or future courses. We also have a newsletter that you can sign up for. It's available electronically and also in large print. We do have access to do Braille, but currently that's not available. We also have a new director who starts on April 25th.
Oh, my goodness.
Her name is Barb. And our previous administrator, who was here for 8+ years, finally retired and moved to Colorado, where she's now living near her daughter, who has two sets of twins.
Oh, my gosh.
She's got grandchildren galore, and she's having a wonderful time out playing in the snow with them.
All right. Well, we have to wrap this up. This is KFEI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFEI.org. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show, Disability and Progress. We've been speaking with Mary Lee Turner. Mary Lee, I really appreciate you coming on, and now we need to call an end to the show. Thank you very much for coming on and talking about all this. And hopefully I will make it to one of the camps this year, because they are really amazing camps. And I don't know what they're doing in regards to vaccinations, but
we abide by the vaccination situation set up in, or that's decreed in in our county and state. So, you know, believe me, we're safe. And we ask everyone else to be safe.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Sam.
It's been great being here, and we'd love to have you and a bunch of your friends come and join us this summer.
Oh, believe me, I talk about the camps all the time. So thank you again, and I appreciate that. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Mason Butler is the engineer of this episode. We've been speaking with Mary Lee Turner. Mary Lee Turner is going to be facilitating a seminar from Hull Foundation Learning Center called Living with Sight Loss. You can call the number that she stated in the show, or go on their website to find that. You can also hear our podcasts. We will be podcasting, and this should make it up on the podcast within a couple days. Or join us on our archives, which last for 2 weeks. Thanks you so much for listening. Good night.
KFAI.org.